Good morning and welcome to the Elder Law Report, hosted by Life Care Planning and Elder Law Attorney Michael Weinraub. Michael Weinraub, the South Jersey's foremost authority in the important areas of elder law, Medicaid, and estate and life care planning. You can reach the Elder Law offices of Michael Weinraub anytime by phone at 609-823-4900 and on the web at their informative website, www.elderlawyerforyou.com. And now, please join us for the Elder Law Report and welcome Life Care Planning Attorney Michael Weinraub.
Good morning and welcome to the Elder Law Report program. I'm attorney Michael Weinraub and it's my pleasure to talk to you about the important areas of elder law, estate planning, Medicaid planning, and life care planning so that you have the information you need to ensure your future and the future of your loved ones. Today's topic is estate planning, and specifically, we are going to talk today about the last will and testament, more commonly known as the will. But first, what is estate planning? To most of us, estate planning makes sure that your assets go where you want them to go upon your death. It allows you to control and protect your assets, lower or eliminate estate death taxes, and provide for the orderly continuance or sale of the family business. The cornerstone of estate planning is the will, but all estate plans should include a power of attorney and a living will or advance directive. Some estate plans will also include trusts, depending on your specific needs. An elder law attorney will determine those needs by having you complete an estate planning questionnaire and by having in-person meetings with you. What is good for you will not necessarily be good for your friend or neighbor. The will is a legal document that transfers your property at death. It is important to note that the document does not take effect until the death of the individual. The will nominates an executor to manage your estate. The executor's job is to gather the assets, pay the taxes and debts of the estate, and to distribute the remaining assets to the beneficiaries following the will. The executor is considered a fiduciary, which means a person to whom property or power is entrusted for the benefit of another. The fiduciary is under a legal obligation to follow all of the laws concerning their appointment and to act properly following the legal document for the benefit of the beneficiaries. Other examples of fiduciaries include a trustee and a guardian. When selecting a fiduciary of any type, the most important thing to keep in mind is that you must select someone you trust. You are placing a great amount of responsibility in the fiduciary, so you must be able to trust them. Do not select a fiduciary because they are a male, because they are the oldest child, or because they live closest to you. Select the fiduciary because you can trust them to do the right thing, and because they will be able to competently handle the duties of the position. The executor of a will is the term used for a male, while the executrix of a will is the term used for a female. You can also select a guardian for any minor children that you may have. Some people prefer to select an individual to act as an executor, such as the spouse or an adult child. Others prefer to select a professional, such as an accountant, financial planner, investment broker, banker, or attorney. There are pros and cons to each choice. A family member is someone that you know well and you know will add a personal touch to the duties of the position. They know the deceased individual, who is called the decedent, as well as the beneficiaries of the estate. They know what was intended by the decedent and what is best for the beneficiary. The professional, on the other hand, has their expertise to offer. They may have an expertise in investments, in taxes, or in the law. The executor, who is a family member or close friend, always has the ability to hire a professional to handle specific duties during the administration of the estate. Keep in mind that if you name a professional as a fiduciary, they will expect to be paid for their time. So cost, as well as the size of the estate, will be a factor in choosing the executor. You can always select co-executors using a family member and a professional. I do not recommend using two family members because if they cannot agree on a specific issue, you will end up in court with a judge making the decision for you and spending the assets of the estate for attorney's fees and costs arising out of that litigation. Also, always name at least one alternate or successor, executor, or fiduciary in case the first one chosen is unable to do the job or dies before you do. In order to prepare a will, the individual must have the required legal capacity. They must be aware of the natural objects of their bounty, meaning they know who their family and friends are. They must know what assets they have, understand what a will is, and how the assets will be distributed under their will. Most people think that the will includes a list of all of your personal items and how they are to be distributed, but that is not necessary. In New Jersey, we use something called a letter of last instructions, and it is meant to take care of the distribution of personal property. In order for a letter of last instructions to be valid, it must be mentioned in your will. In other words, the will must state that you have prepared the letter or will prepare it in the future. The letter of last instructions will not be prepared by the attorney, but rather by you. It will state the specific item of personal property, for example, my diamond necklace, and to whom it will be given upon your death. The beauty of this document is that if you change your mind, you simply destroy it and prepare a new one, without the necessity of consulting an attorney. The letter of last instructions is kept in a convenient and safe place where everyone knows its location and can locate it easily. The letter can include the location of your will and other important papers. You can leave your instructions for your funeral as well as a list and location of all of your assets. Some of my clients enjoy using the letter to tell their loved ones any information they may wish to share with them. All of my clients will receive an example of a letter of last instructions to use in preparing their own letter. You can receive our free monthly email Elder Law newsletter by calling our offices at 609-823-4900 or by visiting our website, www.elderlawyer4u.com. That's E-L-D-E-R. LAWYERFOROUU.com. We'll be right back to continue our discussion of wills after this short message.
The law firm of Michael Weinraub concentrates in the area of elder law. The practice involves the use of a life care plan. The life care plan places special emphasis on issues surrounding a long life. Michael Weinraub works with seniors and their families who are overwhelmed or confused by all the decisions they have to make planning for their future. He offers a free monthly email newsletter featuring various elder law articles, which you can obtain either by going to his website at www.elderlawyerforyou.com, emailing him at mike@elderlawyerforyou.com or by calling his office at 609-823-4900. You can also obtain a free booklet entitled Life Care Planning for the Aging and Those with Long-Term Illness by emailing him at mike@elderlawyerforyou.com or by calling his office at 609-823-4900.
Attorney Michael Weinraub back with you on the Elder Law Report Program. And it's my pleasure to talk to you each Sunday morning about the important areas of elder law, estate planning, Medicaid planning, and life care planning, so that you have the information you need to ensure your future and the future of your loved ones. Let's continue our discussion on today's topic, wills. Tax planning is an important issue for some people who have significant assets and who wish to keep as much of their hard-earned money as possible to pass on to their loved ones without paying any unnecessary death taxes. To determine if death taxes should be a concern of yours, you must first take a close look at the value of your assets. What is included in the definition of assets? Well, the answer is most things that you own, and some that will surprise you, because you have always thought that they were not considered assets of your estate. The single largest asset in most people's estate is their home. For some reason, people have been led to believe that the home is not included as an asset of their estate for death tax purposes. But it is included, as are all of your bank accounts, investments, personal property, and collectibles of any type. If you own it, it will be included in your estate for estate tax purposes. Another asset that most people do not believe is an includable asset is life insurance. If you are the registered owner of your life insurance policy, it will also be included as part of your assets for the taxable estate. There is a legal way to have your life insurance not to be included in your taxable estate, but due to time constraints today, we will have to cover that topic in a future Elder Law Report program that covers trusts. In New Jersey, we have three different death taxes: a federal estate tax, a state estate tax, and a state inheritance tax. The two estate taxes are based on the amount of assets in your estate, and the inheritance tax is based on who is receiving the assets from your estate. In order to do tax planning, you must be familiar with two types of wills. The first is what most people have, and it is what I call an I love you will. This is a will where a married couple leaves everything to each other, and then from the survivor of them to their children. This will is fine for people who do not have a taxable estate. If you do have a taxable estate, you need to be aware of the options that are available to reduce or eliminate estate taxes. This is accomplished by the use of trusts in your will. If you have an I love you will, there will be no estate taxes due when the first spouse dies. But when the second spouse dies, you will have what is known as bunching taking place. Bunching means that instead of each spouse taking advantage of their own estate tax exemption amount, all of the assets will be bunched together as a result of the first spouse's death. And when the second spouse dies, there will only be one exemption that can be used instead of two exemptions, which is the result you obtain by using the appropriate tax savings trust in the will. We will discuss more specifics concerning these trusts when the Elder Law Report focuses on trusts. Some people will have to be concerned about estate taxes because in the area in which we live, and especially in the shore areas, the value of our homes by itself will be sufficient to cause an estate tax to be due. Taxes should be a concern because federal estate taxes can presently be as high as 45% of any asset values over the exemption amount. This is a pretty hefty penalty to pay, especially when it can be reduced or avoided entirely by proper planning and the use of an appropriate will. Another way to avoid paying unnecessary estate taxes is to consider lifetime gift giving. Lifetime gifting will reduce the value of your estate and consequently your estate taxes. Under federal estate and gift tax laws, every individual is entitled to gift up to $12,000 per year per person. If your spouse joins in the gift, the amount is doubled to $24,000 per person that you are gifting to. As an example, if a husband and wife have three children and seven grandchildren, they could gift a total of up to $240,000 per year without having to file a gift tax return or losing any portion of their lifetime gifting and estate tax exemptions. If an individual makes gifts that are in excess of the annual gift-giving exemption, they will have to file a gift tax return, and their lifetime gift tax exemption will be reduced by the amount of the excess gift. Lifetime gifting is not for everyone, and each individual must have their own individual circumstances analyzed by a qualified professional. You can receive our free booklet entitled Life Care Planning for the Aging and Those with Long-Term Illness by calling our offices at 609-823-4900 or by emailing me at mike@elderlawyerforyou.com. That's M-I-K-E, the at sign, E-L-D-E-R-L-A-W-Y-E-R-F-O-R-Y-O-U.com. The Life Care Planning Booklet provides the information that you need to ensure your future security. We'll be right back to continue our discussion of wills after this short message.
The law firm of Michael Weinraub concentrates in the area of elder law. The practice involves the use of a life care plan. The life care plan places special emphasis on issues surrounding a long life. Michael Weinraub works with seniors and their families who are overwhelmed or confused by all the decisions they have to make planning for their future. He offers a free monthly email newsletter featuring various elder law articles, which you can obtain either by going to his website at www.elderlawyerforyou.com, emailing him at mike@elderlawyerforyou.com or by calling his office at 609-823-4900. You can also obtain a free booklet entitled Life Care Planning for the Aging and Those with Long-Term Illness by emailing him at mike@elderlawyerforyou.com or by calling his office at 609-823-4900.
Attorney Michael Weinraub back with you on the Elder Law Report program, and it's my pleasure to talk to you each Sunday morning about the important areas of elder law, estate planning, Medicaid planning, and life care planning, so that you have the information you need to ensure your future and the future of your loved ones. Let's wrap up our discussion on today's topic, wills. Let's talk about what you can and cannot do in a will. Generally speaking, if you can think of it, I can draft it for you in your will. But I have a drafting question for you to think about. Can you disinherit, which means write your spouse out of your will? Now think about it for a few seconds. Can I prepare a will where I leave my lovely wife Cindy with nothing, absolutely nothing for my estate? The answer is, you can do it, but if you do it, you allow your spouse the opportunity to take against the will by filing an action with the court, and your spouse will end up with approximately one-third of your estate. So in the end, absent a valid prenuptial agreement, you cannot disinherit your spouse entirely. Here's another one for you. How about your children? Can you disinherit your children from your estate? The answer is, yes you can, but you better do it correctly. If I have four children, and my will states that it is to be divided equally between my three children, I run the risk that my fourth child will file a lawsuit known as a will contest, and the judge will rule that I meant to include that fourth child, but somehow forgot to include them. The way to handle a disinheritance properly is to list all of your children and then to specifically mention the children that you are disinheriting. This allows the court to be aware that you know that you have four children, but that you only choose to leave assets to three of them. Right about now, most of you are probably thinking, why would I want to disinherit my children? And that's an excellent question. A lack of love is not the only reason to disinherit a child. You may have made a lifetime gift to one or more of your children. Or you may have paid for some of the children's education, like college or graduate school, or even started them up in business. And this is a way to equalize your estate among all of the children. I always make my clients aware that if they choose to disinherit a child, that they have the option of explaining why they are doing it, so that not only the child being disinherited, but all of the children are aware of the reasons for it. The will can be used to dispose of some assets and not other assets. How do you know the difference? Any asset that has a beneficiary cannot be disposed of in the will. If a beneficiary is listed on any asset, such as a bank or investment account, an IRA, a 401k, or an insurance policy, Upon your death, that asset will go directly to the named beneficiary on the account, even if you make a specific designation in your will for that same account. The designation in the will would not be valid under those circumstances. The same rule would apply for any accounts that are held POD, which is payable on death, or ITF, which is in trust for, meaning those accounts are paid directly to those beneficiaries listed under the POD or ITF designation outside of the will. These issues also come up when you are dealing with jointly owned accounts, meaning accounts owned by more than one person. In jointly owned accounts, the account will automatically go to the joint account holder, which may create an unintended result. Many seniors will add one child's name to a bank account for convenience sake in case the parent needs the child to access the account for the parent's benefit. The usual intention of the parent was not to give the entire balance of the account to that one child at their death, but rather for it to be divided equally amongst the children. The problem with joint ownership of accounts is that it results in this unwanted, inequitable outcome. Another area where you see this problem is with jointly owned real estate. If you own the property as joint tenants with a right of survivorship, when the first individual passes away, the surviving owner takes the deceased owner's share by operation of law, and it passes outside of the will. If you own the property with your spouse, it is called tenants by the entirety and operates the same as joint tenants with a right of survivorship. If, however, you own the property as tenants in common, then the share of the owner that has died will pass to the beneficiary named in the individual's will and not to the surviving owner. Many of you have heard the name codicil. What is a codicil? Codicil is basically an amendment to the will. A codicil can be used to make changes to the will, but again, be careful of unintended results. A long time ago, I represented the executor of an estate in probating a will. The will provided $25,000 to be divided among five charities. As the years passed, the individual prepared his own codicils, rewriting the bequest to the charities and increasing it by $5,000 every few years. At the time of his death, the last codicil read $60,000 to be divided equally among the five charities. At the time of his death, the individual left seven codicils stored with the will, which increased the charitable bequests at $5,000 increments from $25,000 all the way up to the final amount of $60,000. You should know that when charities are listed as beneficiaries in a will, the state attorney general must be notified, and that office steps in to represent the charitable beneficiaries. The estate's position was to have $60,000 be divided among the five charities. The attorney general objected to the distribution and claimed that the deceased individual did not intend to keep increasing the total amount that he left to charity, but rather each of the codicils was intended as a separate gift, meaning that instead of a $60,000 bequest, it was actually separate bequests of $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, $40,000, $45,000, $50,000, $55,000, and $60,000 for a total bequest of $340,000. Needless to say, we ended up fighting it out in court. The moral of the story comes in two parts. First, never use a codicil unless it is for a simple thing, without the possibility of ambiguity, for example, like changing your executor. Otherwise, it is always better to update your will. Second, Never try to do estate planning on your own. Always consult with an elder law attorney. What happens if you die without a will? The simple answer is that the state determines the distribution for you. It has a chart, and the first family member or group of family members that fits the chart receives your assets. Do you know what happens if you don't have any surviving family members that fit the chart? You guessed it. It all goes to the state. There is no allowance for friends or charities in the chart. It all goes to the state. Assuming that I have convinced you of the importance of planning ahead and having your will prepared by an elder law attorney, your will should be stored in a safe place, preferably in a safe deposit box at your local bank. Now don't forget, you can receive our free monthly email elder law newsletter by calling our offices at 609-823-4900 or by visiting our website www.elderlawyer4u.com. That's ELDERLAWYERFORYOU.com. Or our free booklet entitled Life Care Planning for the Aging and Those with Long-Term Illness, also by calling our offices at 609-823-4900 or by emailing me at mike@elderlawyer4u.com. That's M-I-K-E, the at sign, ELDERLAWYERFORYOU.com. The Life Care Planning Booklet provides the information that you need to ensure your future security. If you have any questions about wills or any other questions about estate planning, life care planning, Medicaid planning, or any other elder law topic, please call or email me with your question. Simply visit our website, www.elderlawyer4u.com. That's ELDERLAWYERFORYOU.com, or you may call the office at 609-823-4900. And if you have any ideas or suggestions for future programs, please let us know that too. Thank you for listening, and please join us next Sunday and every Sunday morning, same time, same station, 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, for the Elder Law Report, right here on AM 1340, Classic Oldies, WMID.
You have been listening to the Elder Law Report, hosted by Life Care Planning and Elder Law Attorney Michael Weinraub, South Jersey's foremost authority in the important areas of elder law, Medicaid, and estate and life care planning. You can reach the Elder Law offices of Michael Weinraub anytime by phone at 609-823-4900 and on the web at their informative website, www.elderlawyer4u.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for another edition of the Elder Law Report. All of the information presented in this program is general in nature and does not constitute legal advice for any one individual. Please do not act upon this information without consulting an elder law attorney. The proceeding has been a paid program from Michael Weinraub, attorney at law.